You would remember her and the babies in your prayers, so we would appreciate it. Tonight, our lesson is going to be on habits, and I hope most everyone can see this. If not, maybe you can come up after the lesson and jot it down or whatever you need to do. So in the middle there, if you can't tell, it is the word habit, and these are just three circles, and the middle part that is actually shaded in is where those three circles intersect. So much of what we do is out of habit. Think about all the things that you do, and you don't really have to think about it, you just do it. Or maybe there's things that you do and you're not sure why you do it, but you still do it. Or maybe you know why you do it, but have you ever noticed that you kind of do it routinely? It's usually around the same time every day. These could be different things from you know, when you get up, when you go to bed, if you eat breakfast or not, what time you brush your teeth, you know, the order in which you get ready for the day. They could be bad things, like if you procrastinate or if you bite your nails, things like that. So habits can be both good and bad, and we know that all of us have them. So I want to look at the definition to start out real quick of what a habit is. And a habit is a recurrent, often unconscious pattern of behavior that is acquired through frequent repetition. So based on the definition, there are a few things we can get from it. First off is a habit, it happens over and over again. And a lot of times it's done without having to think about it, unconscious pattern of your behavior. It also can be, to get the habit, it's something that you do a lot of times before it actually becomes a habit. So you do that thing several times and then it develops to a habit. Another is the fact that it somewhat defines our personality or our character, our behaviors as a person. So based on the definition itself and also how we have interacted with habits in our lives, we understand that bad habits can be very tough to break, but they're not impossible. So based on that conclusion that bad habits are tough to break, we can also take the positive of that and figure if we can create good habits, those will be things that will be easy for us to keep. So I want to look at the habit a little differently than what we normally think. We just think of that repetition, that's how you get it. But I saw this actually out of a book, and it's kind of just something that stuck with me and made me view habits completely differently. And this is a way of defining the habit, as I mentioned earlier, as the intersection of these three things that we're going to go over during this lesson. And these are things that if we want to create good habits in our lives and keep them, we can have these three things and we'll be able to develop that habit and use it for the good. So once we recognize these three things, we can look at those and decide how we can take God's word and make Christian habits in our own lives. And you can also use these same principles, you know, to accomplish any other thing that maybe you've been trying, a new workout routine or, you know, whatever you're trying to do, you could use this for things that you struggle with to make it easier. So the first one is going to be knowledge. The knowledge is the what to do and the why. So my first thought of whenever I saw this picture and then I saw the word knowledge was diets. You know, when I was younger, I kind of just believed people that struggled with diets was just because they ate too much and they were lazy. But I've been looking a lot into nutrition lately and found, you know, it's the odds are completely stacked against us, really. If you look at the way that food is marketed, how it's labeled, its ingredients, how it's prepared at restaurants, it's very difficult to choose, you know, what's correct to eat. A lot of times when you see labels, they'll say no fat, which really means high in sugar. If you see it with low sugar, it really means high in fat. So they found a good way to make things look healthy when they're really not, especially things like energy bars or power bars. If you compare those with a lot of candy bars, they pretty much match up almost equally. And these are made to, you know, make us think they're good to eat while we're working out or, you know, whatever is a good snack. So it can be difficult to decide what's good for you or, you know, how much to take. In our Christian lives, as we study the Bible, there are plenty of what to do's. Many of them. I'm going to go through quite a few of them here just quickly. And starting with worship. We come to worship Sundays, Wednesdays. And what do? We pray, we sing, we study the Bible, we partake in the Lord's Supper. And, you know, in Part of the what to do is, and that is how often do we do it? What times do we actually do that? Because we're given the commandment at a certain time. Same with taking up a collection. There's a how often to do that. A while back, we had a class that we went over, and it was what to do for leadership roles. So this class was filling the gap. And we went over scripture readings, presenting lessons, and one of the important things with that was what translation of the Bible to use and why we choose that translation. Other things were duties of an usher, leading a prayer. You need to know how to open a prayer, how to close a prayer, and why we do it that way. Some other things are what are the qualifications for an elder and what does an elder do? What are the qualifications for a deacon? What does a deacon do? The steps of salvation, you know, what do I do to become saved? Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. We need to know what they are, but we also need to know why we do these. Another important one is Jesus' death on the cross, what that means for our salvation. Another one that came to mind when I was thinking of, especially with habits, is the Beatitudes. These are what people are blessed and why. So these are things that we can strive to make habits of those. Another part of this is the why. And an easy answer for the why is always because God told us to. And that is correct, but there's also another one that I thought of a good verse for. And that's 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We're going to get asked questions about why we do the things. If you ever bring a friend to church, you know, that maybe is from another religion, they're going to ask certain questions about our worship services. You need to be ready to answer those questions. Another one is in John 4, 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If we don't know why we're doing these acts of worship, then we're worshiping in vain. We're not worshiping in spirit and in truth. So it's important to know the why. The second one is skills. The skills are the how-to, or your abilities. For the most part, this should be one of the easiest for us. So let's go over some examples of that. What skills do we need for the following? Well, we mentioned worship was one of the whats that we needed for knowledge. So for worship, what's the first thing? We need to be here. Well, the ability for that is pretty simple. You need to be able to drive a car or pick up a phone and ask for a ride. You know, it's simple. We can all do it. Another part of worship is the fact that we have to hear and listen. And we need to do these so that we can pay attention to the words of the prayers, pay attention to the words that are being sung, pay attention to the words that are in the lesson. We need to be able to read. I think most of us can read. We need to read along with the lesson text. We need to read the lyrics in the song books. One of the others is sing. And here we're just told to sing. It doesn't matter how well we sing, if we're in tune, on pitch, whatever the case may be. We just need the ability to sing, which we all have. Give of the collection. Here we need to earn money. Maybe you need the ability to balance a checking account, how to set a budget so you know how much you can give. Partake of the Lord's Supper. That's a simple one. You need to be able to eat and drink. I think we can all do that. And another really important one is the fact that we need to focus. And all those acts that I mentioned, like I say, eating and drinking during the Lord's Supper, there's more to it than just that. You have to focus on the purpose of partaking of those emblems. Again, going back to the filling the gap class, that was a really good class because we learned the what to do's, we gained that knowledge, we learned the why's, but we also were shown the skills and we were given time to practice those skills. Another one of the skills that we all need is the ability to teach others. And this should also be relatively simple. The first thing we need to do is get the knowledge. What are we going to teach? So we have to have the ability, again, to read and to study our Bible. Communicate's another skill we need. And this is more than just being able to talk. We need to be able to help someone else understand what we're trying to teach. And the same thing can go for us, you know, use the same hows that someone used on you when they were teaching. You can use those on other people. One of the things I thought of whenever I saw skills was the fact that Moses was given instruction from God, and he kind of didn't really believe in the skills that he had. If we look over in Exodus 4, verses 10 and 11, the first verse, 10, is Moses speaking to God, and he had already questioned God on him asking him to go do this, asking, you know, who should I say sent me, and all of these things. And now Moses says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hereto, nor since thou hast spoken unto this servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Moses kind of makes the excuses here that he's not eloquent. He's not a good speech giver. He's slow of speech and he's slow of the tongue. He didn't believe in the skills that God had given him. But God answers him in the very next verse. "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" So God's answer is, who hath made man's mouth? He's pretty much telling Moses, you know, I've given you this skill. You do have the ability to do it. I know, because I'm the one that created you. So we can't make excuses. There's nothing we're asked in the Bible that we're going to have to do that's going to be more difficult than what Moses was asked to do. He was asked to go talk to the most powerful ruler of the most powerful country at that time. I don't think we have anything comparable to that we're supposed to do. Sometimes the Bible may be a little hard to read or understand in sections, but for the most part, the instruction we're given from the Bible is very simple. We should all be able to do them. If there are skills that you lack in, all it takes is a little practice and you'll be able to develop them. The last one is desire. This one is the want to. So how often do you find yourselves trying to start a new routine or setting a New Year's resolution or something? And, you know, it could be something even very simple, like taking a daily vitamin. You decide you're going to do this, you know what to take, you have the ability to take it. You start taking it, but after so long, you miss a day, you forget a couple more times. After a while, it's been a week, and then you pretty much quit doing it. You know, something like that, it should be really simple to do. You know what to do, you know how to do it, but you're missing the actual want to. So often we say that we want to, but our actions are usually showing us otherwise. I want to have a better diet, but it's my birthday today, so I'm going to have some cake. I want to be on time for church, but I just couldn't get out of bed today. If you desire something, you're going to be able to do it. That's the problems with New Year's resolutions. You make them up before January 1st, but then you put it off until that day to actually start it. If it's something you're going to stick with, you're going to decide that day you're going to start doing it that day that you decide it. When it came to desire, the example I thought of was Christ. Obviously, we know he was going to be crucified. He knew he was going to be crucified. He didn't want to die. Like, he was a man, just like all of us. We don't want to die, especially a painful death like that. If you read the account in Luke 22 where he's praying in the garden, you will see how strongly he doesn't want this to happen. In verse 42, he says, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." His desire was to do the Father's will. No matter how much he feared death, no matter how much pain and suffering he was going to go through, no matter how much he was hated by everyone, his desire was shown. He was crucified. He was sacrificed on our behalf. His desire was shown because of his actions. If you know what to do, and you know how to do it, and you have that skill to do it, but it's still not working out, you need to examine yourself and figure, you know, how much do I really desire to do this? So my goal tonight was to present you with a new tool to make your Christian life a little bit simpler. The tool is the habit. We can each make habits work for us. They can become like a second nature. I also wanted to present this in a new way, or a different way of viewing habits, especially on how you can create them, make them work for you. My hope is that you can take this information, maybe just, you know, this small picture can be in the back of your mind, or you can carry it with you. But whenever there's things that you're struggling with, you know, in your Christian life, you're trying to be consistent with something, no matter what that area is, you can stop and kind of analyze each one of these, you know. Am I missing the knowledge? Do I lack the skills? Or is my desire weak? If you can figure out which one of those is a problem and then fix that, you'll be able to create that habit and actually do what you're wanting to do, and then you can move on and create a new one. Tonight, if you've been considering becoming a Christian, then you are, and you've been thinking about that, that's something, you already know the what part of it. You have the ability to do it. The only thing holding you back is your desire. The desire takes action, and the action would be to come forward. Same for any of those that need prayers from the church. If you need to repent, you need to show that same desire. You need to show that action. I ask that you do that now as we stand and sing.